But the Lord is my strength. Amen. Focus your attention on Hebrews chapter 11. Let us pray. Father, we praise you and we thank you. We honor you for who you are. We pray thy blessings, God, upon the gathering together of your people, the digging into thy word, that you would bless each and every one of us not to get in the way of your way, that we might leave here better because of the experience we have with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we want to talk about living like they already had it. When you look at the heroes of faith, you say, what's wrong with them? When you read that whole chapter about them being torn asunder and all the stuff they went through, they were living like they already had it. They're living like they already had it. They're living like they already had what God promised them. They're living like they already had it. You ever seen folk like that? I see people in school, they look like they already graduated. They had confidence. They're like they're already in the sixth grade. They look like it was stuff that they could do. And they had this confidence about them. They were walking like they already had. I see people say all the time, they act like they're a millionaire. They walking like they already had it. They didn't have the money yet, but something. They had a picture in their wallet or something. They had a vision of what God promised them. I want you to know, your faith in God is the picture that you need to show you where God wants to take you. So if your picture's blurry, check your faith. If you got a little small water size, check your faith. Oh, I know you're supposed to have a mustard seed faith, but where God wants to do for you, where he wants to take you, it takes a big picture. As a matter of fact, you ought to get it on canvas. You ought to rent a side of a wall so you can paint the picture of what God's trying to do in your life. And the only reason God can't do what he's shown you is not his fault, because he's got it. We need to look in the mirror. We block God. We stop God from blessing us with our own little hang-ups and issues and can't surrender and can't let go and don't like this and don't like that. We just block God. We block God in the sense of repetition. Because sometimes God wants somebody to bless us and we go right to the person with this thought that God ain't going to use them. How do you know? How do you know when God changed their heart? How do you know what God said to them? We look at folk and figure they ain't got nothing. How they going to bless me? They ain't got nothing. Because you're looking for the wrong stuff. Sometimes you don't need money because you don't know what to do with it. Sometimes you need a word of encouragement. Sometimes you need a financial seminar. Because part of the stuff that we're in now is because us. He said it in the altar prayer. Some of the mess we're in now, it's us. Ain't got nothing to do with God. Come to church and lie on the devil. Devil messed my money. Devil ain't had nothing to do with that money. That's your money. The devil ain't sending you to the mat. You went to the machine, got your money out, and messed it up. And you passed the devil all in my money. Devil ain't in your money. You the devil in your money. Devil all in my house. You might be the devil all up in your house. Everything was calm before you came in. Oh, I'm sorry. Talking about faith. Living like they already had it. And that word faith in the Greek is the word pistis. Listen to this definition so we can hold on to it so we can get through the message. This word in the Greek means belief, trust, and assurance. Listen to this. With an implication that actions based on this trust may follow. That's what that faith is. This faith says that they believe God so much that they might just do something based on their belief in God. That's what that definition says. They believe God so much of what he showed them, they might just act like it. Oh, you ought to get ready. Some Christians ought to act like it. And that faith also refers to the Christian system of belief and lifestyle. Hebrews 11 is usually subtitled the roll call of faith or the great heroes of faith. The word of God often provides for believers and those seeking knowledge of him examples of people who believe God enough that they live their lives by this faith. That's powerful.
I used to get all, I used to say, they didn't even have Jesus in the flesh yet.
And they grabbed hold of it. And God told me earlier this morning, that's not the deep thing, because Jesus has come in the flesh, and some folks still don't believe me. He said, it's good that you recognize that they hadn't had Christ in the flesh yet, and they still, you know, held on to their faith. But the big deal is, he has already come in the flesh, has already died, resurrected, going back to glory, on his way back, and some folks still.
To give one's life in Christ meaning, purpose, and focus, one must have faith in who God is, what God says, the promises of God, and the reality of the existence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. A Christian must have faith in God to live a Christian life to the fullest, or to the extent that the Bible wants us to. There's a lot of us call ourselves Christians, but we're not living by faith. We're not living by faith. That's why we just do what we do when it comes to worshiping Him, when it comes to doing things for the Lord, because we don't have enough faith, because we got to have that tangible thing. But this is spiritual. This is spiritual. And you got to believe the Word of God. Think about this. If you believe the weather, man, believe God. If you believe the lottery, believe God. That didn't go over too well. Let me try another one. Faith is essential, it's crucial, it's necessary. That's why as often as you read Hebrews 11, and you go to verses 1 through 5, then verse 6 mess you up. Verse 11, 1 through 5 is fine. I'm rolling with it. Reverend Tansley, I'm rolling with that. Then verse 6 pops up to tell me, without faith, it is. God, you mean to tell me that if I don't have faith, I can't please you? It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently, sincerely seek him. And you don't just seek him just one time when you're in trouble. We seek God continuously and always. That messed me up. Verse 6. You be rolling along. It's like this big hole in the road. But without faith, it is impossible. I was like, wow. And that word is, you know, he that cometh to him, they said that he must believe that he is. That word believe comes out the same root word as that word faith. That word believe is to put one's faith in, trust in, look at this, with an implication that actions based on this trust will follow. So they found the same root word, the same belief in God. They believe God so much. And that's why I said they living like they already got it. You ever see somebody like that living like they already got it? We be talking about them and they done seen something. They done seen a vision. Lord have mercy. It's like window shopping. I can't afford that house right now. I'm going to drive by and make sure they're still taking care of it. You drive by, real slow, and wave up. Thank you for cutting the grass. Thank you for cutting the grass. Thank you. Thank you for painting it. Thank you for having the roofers come. Oh, I wish I had a witness there. You don't know the wealth of the wicked. Laid up for the righteous, but you can't get it till you become righteous. And righteousness means right living, right standing, right understanding of who God is in a right relationship. It's no use in quoting that scripture. You can't get the riches. They don't just fall out to you. No, you got to be able to handle the riches in righteousness. You've got to have that faith in God. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Everybody likes rewards. That's what some of these credit card companies are doing now. If you use your car, you get rewards. You get rewards for using your car. I mean, they track everything you do, but you get rewards. You'll get many phone calls and many mail that you don't want, but you get rewards for doing that. But to be an effective Christian and to live an effective Christian life, we need faith. Faith is the foundation of our belief system. That's why relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why Christianity is different than all religions. Because our faith is based on relationship and not just on a system of religious thoughts. rocks and stuff of that nature. They just got like stuff. We have relationship because Jesus Christ is real. That makes a difference. That's why when you name the name of Jesus in some circles, people look at you strange because there's power.
And then I don't care where you are. You can name the name of Jesus. There's power just by saying the name of Jesus.
But I believe that when we read Hebrews 11, God only wants us to see what the various heroes of faith did. But God also wants us to consider why they did what they did. And what motivated them to do it. What kept them moving?
That all the stuff they had to face, what kept them moving towards what God promised?
How many of us have recently dropped off?
We can't believe God. Because God didn't deliver it quick enough.
If God didn't promise you to come quick, then just wait. They that wait upon the Lord. See, some of us can't wait. We can't wait. We can't wait.
We will go crazy if we can't get it right now. That's why some of us are so messed up. We got so much stuff on us because we can't wait. Got to have it. Why you want it? Want to show off. Why you want to show off? Because they don't think I can afford it. Well, if you can't. Now, here you are buying something to show somebody else and you can't even afford it. You in your house counting pennies while they talking about what you... Oh, somebody help me.
The foolishness that we go through instead of waiting on God. And whatever God promised you, God is going to fulfill it.
He's not a man when he should lie. The Son of Man, he will have to repent. We got to understand. You got to learn how to wait. You got to learn how to use your faith when you're dealing with this Christian walk. Even if you can get stuff, sometimes stuff you can get you don't need.
Oh, my. And I'm saying you ought not have, I'm not saying you ought not be happy, but some stuff we just don't need. We just got to get it to say we got it. So next conversation, I got it. Some folks got to get the most recent sneakers out, whatever.
Paying all that money.
Then come to you for a couple of dollars getting something to eat for lunch.
How are you going to walk around with the new Jordans and show them to me? And you ain't got enough money for a steak sandwich. How can you want something so bad that you're not going to pay your mortgage? And you're not going to pay your electric bill or your water bill because you want this thing so bad. And then when they send you a notice, you got the nerve to get mad with them. Why you don't need my money? This city rich enough. If enough people pay their water bill, maybe they leave me alone. Pay yours. That's stewardship. That's honoring God. But see, we don't want to look at it that way.
We think we got this privilege, this right as Christians to go around doing what we want to do. And then blame it on God. God told me not to pay my bills. Now I sit us in the darkest.
You got to tell electric man because God told me. Well, good. Tell God I'm going to turn it off. Oh, we need to stop playing around using God like that.
Faith. They were motivated by faith. Says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead in the natural,
but in the spirit. How many times has God give you a vision and a dream? And you saw it just as clear?
But when you woke up, you
all you could do was talk about it. You couldn't see it no more because you weren't in the spirit anymore.
Some of us sitting here right now, God has given you a vision and a dream for your life and for your family and for ministry. And you just lost it because you couldn't get your hand. Every time you reached for it, you found out it was in the spirit and you got disturbed by that.
You know, God, see, it's a spiritual walk. He will show it to you in the spirit, then manifest it in the natural if you hold on to the spiritual vision and the dream that he gave you.
For by faith, the men of God, the women of God, were famous for their faith. They did things by faith and through faith. That's powerful. So through faith, Sarah had a baby. I said, yeah, she had to do it through faith. Glory be to God. Sarah almost became my hero.
But they living like they already had. When you read Hebrews 11, you see them going forth and going through like the stuff was happening to them. They were being threatened. They were being tortured. And they just kept on moving towards what God promised them. That's powerful when you can see the promise of God and you get it, a picture of it, and you see it, and you believe it, and you hold on to it, and can't nobody block you, and can't nobody stop you. We already have faith. We use faith every day. I tell you often, we go to work and believe they got a paycheck. That's faith. Faith is going to the supermarket and think they got some food for you to buy. That's faith. Faith is sitting, coming in, sitting on the pew and knowing it ain't going to fall up under you. We have faith. We just don't have faith in God. Oh, we got faith. We just got it in the wrong places. As we look more at Hebrews 11, look at Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. We're going to focus in on that. Hebrews chapter 11, 13 through 16. And it says, these all die in faith. That means they die believing. Because of what God promised them, they died in belief. They died moving towards what God showed them.
Oh, my God. I know that sounds strange. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
They had this vision so fixed in their mind, they had a visual. I was watching a movie, and they was going to take this man out. And all these snipers was up on the roof, and the man was in the building, and they put that red dot on him, and he said, I got a visual. Give me. We need a visual. We need a red dot on what God has given us so we can pursue that thing. And they checked that man in that eyesight until they were told, well, you got to keep your vision. If I don't care who come, I don't care who come to preach, I don't care what happens in your life, I don't care what you go through, I don't care what the doctor says, I don't care what the landlord says, I don't care what your employer says, they can't destroy what God has promised you, what God has shown you. Stop letting folks blur your picture and mess up your life. If this ain't the church, go find the church that is. Oh, my. We got so much stuff blocking what God has shown us. Letting folk get in there and blur you. Blur your picture. Blur your life.
We look at that verse, Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. Verse 14 says, For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country.
They got to a point where I got this vision of what God showed me. As a matter of fact, I don't even live here no more. I'm going to maintain my house, but I don't even really live. This ain't where I'm headed. I'm not going to put all my lock, stock, and barrel down here. I belong in another country.
Verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have the opportunity to have returned.
If they were so focused from whence they come, they might have gone back. But they were so focused on where they were going, that they said, I'm a pilgrim, not a citizen. I'm a citizen of heaven.
Oh, my God. And truly, they had been mindful of that country from which they came out. They might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country.
Yeah. That's hard. Because when you look, you know, sometimes you look on TV, you see they have these different shows about where people live, these awesome homes and everything. And you say, how could it get better than that? Whatever God has for them is so much better than what we see. And sometimes we may want some of the things that we see on television, but God, heaven is so, oh my God. You got to get a visual on it. You got to get a visual.
You got to begin to see what God is trying to do in your life, what God is trying to say to you. And sometimes I'll tell you, stay right there where you are right now. I'm going to make some stuff happen where you are.
I know they don't like you. I know they don't want to give you a raise. I know they don't want to treat you right, but you stay right there. Because they not your God. They're your boss. that you're super. I'm your God. He says promotion coming from the north. Not from the east, not from the west, not from the south, but from the north. It comes from me. You just be still and know that I am God. You keep on following me. You keep on acting like you already got it. Sit in your office, but you know, sit back like you already got the promotion. Oh my God. That's what you believe God in spite of. But they don't really rule your life. They can affect your life. It's like Genesis 3:15. He says, look, because of what happened in the garden, you know, the enemy going to come. He's going to be an ankle bruiser. He's going to be biting at your ankles, just nagging you. But you're going to be able to crush his head. Come on, he promised Christ. He said, look, he's going to be all at you, all nagging, trying to trip you up and twist you up. But eventually, I'm going to give you enough power and enough faith and enough word and enough belief in me and enough vision that you'll be able to turn around and crush the enemy's head. That's the word of the Lord. But see, we don't want to operate like that no more. We want to operate in the tangibility, what we can see, what we can do on our own, who we can call. Who else can I call? Can I call City Hall? Can I call this politician? Can I call this person? Can I call that person? God said, call me. I know what you stand in need of. As a matter of fact, I put you on the journey. I made you in my image. I know just how much you can bear. I know the plans that I have for you. I know everything about you. And I'm about ready to bless you. But see what's going on right now. They got you so messed up and messed up. Got you so misdirected. Got you all looking over here. Got you looking over there. You can't even see what I was doing. And then we lose hope. We lose faith, and then we start going all over the place. Then we need God. We don't need God. We don't need God. Ain't moving in my life. Why should God move in your life when you're moving away from him? How am I going to tell God, God, if you do this, I'll do this. Don't do that. I tried that. Don't work. He said, who do you think you are? I'm all unemployed. Look here, God. Look, this is what we're going to do. You give me a job, and I'll preach your word. About 2 days later, he said, no, you'll preach my word, and I might give you a job. Man, God, you rough. He said, no, you just don't understand who I am. Because even if you don't have a job, you still want to survive. What do you think? I'm going to call you a preacher. You don't have a job. You're going to be able to eat, sleep. God is our all in all. And look at those verses. Look at point number one. Faith is sight. They all died in faith in 13, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. Number one, faith is sight. They had a visual on it. They saw the promises afar off. Because you can't touch it doesn't mean it's not real. When you go to the museum and see some stuff, they got some stuff in glass cases. You can't touch it, but it's real. Even though you can't touch it, it's real. It's right there in front of you. You got a visual on it. They saw it afar off. That's why they lived like they already had. They saw it afar off. Can you see yourself being something today? Can you see yourself being somebody in Christ? Or do you just see your past where you fell down here, you fell down here, you made a wrong turn here, you made a wrong turn, you made a mistake here, you made a mistake there, and that's all you see. All you can see is mistakes, 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 because that's all you want to see, because you got to look beyond the mistakes. If God looks beyond your thoughts, then look beyond your own mistakes. There is a power in forgiveness. So faith is sight. They saw the promises afar off and they pursued those things. Point number two, they saw faith as determination. And they were persuaded. My God. That means that they were convinced beyond doubt. They were convinced to the point they saw them afar off and they were determined. They were persuaded. And see, once you see something afar off and you're persuaded to believe it and that it's real, you are going to pursue it. You ever been watching something on TV and the kids keep crossing in front of them? Will you get out? Will you stop walking across? You're messing up my view. You got some friends. You got some folk in your family that's messing up your view. You trying to get your word on, trying to get your prayer on, trying to get your praise on. They block you with all this other stuff. You ain't going to church today, all right? Won't you come and go with me? You ain't reading the word. Why would you relinquish what God has shown you for all that dumb stuff? Because they got you thinking they need you so much. I can't live. They played you. Oh, I can't exist without you. Oh, Mama, Daddy, what would I do without you?
You'd be surprised. But they saw the things afar off. Number two, their faith and determination. They were persuaded and they were determined to keep on moving. I don't believe he brought you this far. I don't think he brought us this far just to leave us. Somebody here today, you're on the brink of getting exactly what God promised you, and you can't believe it because of all the hell you've been through. Well, guess what? God didn't give up. Every time I find somebody giving up, God never threw up his hands and gave up. We give up. We give up on God. But if God would pull the curtain back just to show you how close you were, but because he asked us to walk by faith and not by sight, he shouldn't have to pull the curtain back. He said, look at my resume. Look at all the things I've done in the Word. Look at everything I promised. Look at everything I already done. I already got a track record with you. Why do you want to call me out like that? Why do you want to do me like this now? And how many people that you're associated with or that you live with, that you're related to, are going to be blessed because you kept on moving toward what God. Some of our families are suffering because we stopped moving towards what God. Or we got a little piece of something and thought that was it. I tell folks, if God promised you $500,000, you can shout off to $50,000, but somebody owe you some more money. Oh, I wish I had. Come on. That's not the whole thing, y'all. Don't let me translate into food. You order a 30-foot hoagie, you get 10-foot hoagie, you get home. You want your other 20-foot hoagie. Oh, faith is sight. They saw it afar. Faith is determination. They were persuaded. Then faith as something to grasp. In verse 13. And they embraced what they saw. They embraced it. Yeah. And embrace means to clasp or to hold. So now I see it. And I'm persuaded. And I'm holding. And I'm going to hold it until God tells me let go. I'm going to hold it until it's fulfilled. Even if I'm like this, if I got to die holding it, I'm going to die holding it because when he wakes me up, when he comes back, I got it. That's the part we don't like. Can I get it before I got to go? But whatever God promised, it's a sure thing. So I got my faith as sight. I saw it afar off. I got my faith as determination. I'm persuaded and I'm holding. Now I'm embracing this thing. I'm grasping this thing. And number four, faith as a confession. It says, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Faith as that I have this now, but I want what God promised me. Everything that God promised us is better than what we have. And you might, in fact, have the best, but what God has is that much better. By faith. Verse 10 said, he knew what he was looking for. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. My God. For they that say such things in verse 14 declare plainly that they seek a country. Or you got to know. You got to know what God is showing you. And don't let folk get all up in your ear and distract you and pull you away from your Lord and Savior. Don't let things that happen in your life. Don't you know God is aware of everything going on in your life? He's aware of everything going on in your life. Nothing catches God by surprise. But it's time for you and I to start living like we already had. Amen. You ought to live like, you ought to praise the Lord like I already got. God promised me healing. If something happened to my body, God probably going to heal me. You won't have to pressure me to shout. You don't have to force me to smile. I'm going to do all that on my own. I'll be so excited that God cares about me, that God is still paying attention to me, that God's still speaking to me. That's the way that faith things work. Faith. Living like you already had it. Preaching like you already had it. Teaching like you already had it. Coming to worship like you already got it. We don't realize that our lives aren't half as bad as we really think they are. There's somebody really wants to trade places with you. Isn't that unbelievable? Think about it. Somebody wants to trade places with you, not because of what you got, because of your relationship. They see something. Sometimes they don't know how to ask you about it, so they start hating on you first.
They see the Lord working in your life, the Lord blessing you and everything. The enemy trying to get all up in your ear, all up in your mind. But remember, you messed up. Remember, you messed up. Remember, you messed up. Remember. Say, look, enemy, shut up. I'm trying to listen to God, and you're interfering. As a matter of fact, I did not turn to that station. I don't know how my radio got on. Get off my station. Get out of my ear. Get out of my mind. I'm not trying to listen to that stuff no more. I've been delivered from that. God told me last night not to worry about my past. He said once I gave it to him, that he would take care of everything. So I don't know where you came from. You probably were in that meeting last night when I talked to my Lord and Savior, but that's old news. I'm very sorry. There's something new happening in my life, and I'm not going back there anymore. Tell your friends, don't bring it up. If you bring it up, I go like this. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Don't even remind me of it. I'm beyond that. God's moved me in a different direction. And all you want to talk about is old times, and we keep on doing the same old thing. We're doing the same stuff, same places, same conversation. Ain't nothing happened. 1975. Here it is, 2012. And I met you in 1975. Yeah, that's when my problems stopped. Oh. Go back some time, look at all your mess started in your life. And give it to the Lord. You might not be able to walk out on it, but you better get. What is God showing you? When the last time you tuned into God's channel? When the last time you spent enough time in the Word that God began to speak to you, say, you know what? I got something better for you. And you can be happy. You don't have to always be going through. You can be happy and excited about what God's doing in your life. But God, I got something even better than that. Just hold on. Just embrace me. Just see it afar off. And watch me fulfill this thing. And every step God takes you to it is for the fulfillment of it. And sometimes what he takes us to is not going to be pleasing. We may not understand it. It might be painful. You ask anybody in surgery that came through surgery and got healed. You're going to see the scar. They're going to tell you about the pain. They're going to tell you about all that. But they feel them better because some of the stuff that was messing with them was taken out. Let God do some surgery on our minds and our hearts, our spirits. So we got some messed up ideas about who God is and how I ought to serve God and how I ought to worship God. God said, worship me according to my word. Walk in my will. Walk in my way. Do what I tell you to do. Stop worrying about everybody else, what they saying about you and how they looking at you and everything. You're different. You're peculiar. You're a royal priesthood. See, when you're a kingdom kid, you do kingly stuff. And since everybody else watching you in the natural, they can't understand what you're doing in the spiritual. I don't know why she's doing that. But you don't understand. God's telling her, telling him to do that. And you got to get to a point where you know how God speaks to you. And you got to get to a point you got to be comfortable with that thing. Because sometimes since his ways are not our ways, he tells you to do some weird stuff. You'd be sitting somewhere broke. Broken and broke. And God said, write a check. Give it to the lady across the aisle. I don't know her. Give it to the lady across the aisle. And all of a sudden, when you become in the spirit of obedience, all of a sudden you got this testimony about what God. We have to understand, whatever God tells you to do, God can double back and take care of what you think you're going to miss. God called you to ministry. God, I don't have no time for ministry. I ain't got no time for that. My life is busy. God said if I didn't give you them four jobs, you wouldn't be busy. So how you going to tell me you busy and I gave you the four jobs? But you said you've been on four jobs and you got enough money to do what you want to do. Now let go of one of them jobs and come and serve me and thank you. You ain't thanked me yet. You so busy going back and forth to all these jobs and you so busy buying stuff. You ain't stopped yet. See, you say thank you, Lord. You ain't got time to call me to pray. Before, when you were broke, disgusted, couldn't be trusted, I heard from you every day. You worry heaven. Oh, my God. But then we get to the point, when we get what we want, Christians, we don't, oh my God, once we get what we want. That's why so many of us don't have a right relationship with Christ, because we think it's all about coming down front, getting saved, okay, I don't have to go to hell, it's over. No, salvation is more than that. Salvation is our very life, our very walk, our mercy, our grace, our love, our gifts, our anointing, our power. Salvation is all that. But the enemy got us all messed up. But they living like they already had it. Jesus hadn't even come in the flesh yet. But they already had it. They already had a picture of it. They had a visual. They had a fix on it. And they kept their eye on it. And sometimes you got to, you know, Sometimes when you go to movies, sometimes in church, some people wear big hats. Oh, y'all cool today. Some people. I'm in one church. I was in the lady had a hat. I said, "Sweetheart, you need batteries in the thing, don't you?" It had a windmill on the front. What'd you get me? Highway. But sometimes you got to move over to see. Sometimes you drive, you got to change lanes because a big truck get in front of you. That's what happens in our lives, in our spiritual lives. Nobody pay you attention until you become a Christian. The devil don't raise up until you become a Christian. And you try to drive down the highway of your life, and this big truck gets in front of you, and you can't see where you... Don't change God, just change lanes. Don't lose your visual. That same movie I saw, he had the visual. Somebody started walking across the roof. He had to call in. Let them know, somebody in my sight. And this guy was deep, because he want me to take them out too. My bullet can go to him. And God let us know when the enemy gets all up in our sight. He said, let me know. Put on the whole armor, but let me know. By the blood of Jesus, by the word of God, let me know. I'll take them out for you. Is anybody here know God would take somebody out? Oh. I'm not talking about killing and just, God will move somebody. God will move some barriers. God will move some mountains out of your way. Just let them know. You tell folks sometimes, this might sound crazy, but don't make me call my daddy. They think you're talking about, you know, homeboy that grew up in the house with you, you know, with the 357, you know. You ain't talking about that, daddy. Don't make me call. And then they get mad because you never pull your phone out. Well, they going to call their daddy. They ain't never pull the phone out. What they talking about? You looking straight up in heaven. Don't make me call. I'm trying to be nice to you. But if you keep on muscling with me. It's a spiritual warfare, and we don't even know how to fight. We be taking stuff we don't have to take. Pray against that thing. Your husband lost his mind, pray for him. Your wife lost her mind, pray for her. God, give her mind back. Jesus. Your kid's going crazy, that's all right. Pray for him. There's so much power in prayer, but then you got to see them being turned around. You got to see them fall off. It may not happen in the next week. It may not happen in the next year. Train up a child in the way that he or she should go, that when they get old, they won't depart. But eventually you see them, oh my God, coming back. They living like they already had it. What's wrong with us? We got Jesus in the flesh. We living like we don't have none. We rich. If my father's rich, then we rich. Whatever God says I have, I have. What T.D. Jakes said, whatever you say you have, you have. Line it up with the word, though. Some of us ask amiss. Because why? Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Oh, that word faith is the same word faith in Hebrews 11. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you got to know the word of God so you know how to operate in faith. Whatever they had it. Whatever word they got it. And they believed that thing. And they went on march. People look at us. I can believe even Abraham's family, he told them to go to a land. He didn't tell what the name of us. I know his family like, what is wrong with Abe? Abraham lost his mind. Abraham, where we moving to? I don't know. God said, go. You ever ask somebody in your family like that? God told us to do so and so. They look at you like, you know why? Because they ain't ready for it. And sometimes you have to go ahead and do what God tells you. Because a lot of times, he didn't tell them. Very seldom will God call a family meeting. Oh, my God, I messed up somebody. We're waiting for confirmation. God said, move. 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 Do this. Do that. Take this in. Take this in. But damn, but God, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I know what time I created the world. I made. But see, we get so busy wanting to receive stuff. And God said it's more blessed to give than receive. We're so busy wanting to receive stuff, we don't know how to give. But you got to do this thing by faith. But God, if I do that, I ain't going to have nothing for me and my family. Well, God said, but wait a minute. Who do you think you're talking to? I'm God. I can give y'all a feast tonight. Y'all ain't got to leave your house if I want to. Oh, I wish you, come on. But see, I can't tell folks about the Word of God. Somebody asked me a question. I want to just bombard them with the Word of God. But when it comes to my time, when I'm going through, when I'm in being conflicted with things, and I'm discouraged, with the Word, all the stuff they've been through, they kept on moving forward. Why? Because they had a visual on it. It's with this kind of faith, this type of faith, that enables the heroes of faith to live like they already had what they needed. And you already got what you need. But if you never look in the Word, if you never look in the agreement, if you never look in the promises of God, you're always depending on somebody to tell you. That's part of it. But you ought to know it for yourself. You ought to be reading that Word for yourself. And with this understanding of their faith, when you go back and read Hebrews 11, it reads different. It reads a whole lot different. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Even though he dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated because he had this testimony. He pleased God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, that's why I'm built an ark. They laughed at him. They ain't had seen no rain. They were laughing at him. The folks at the local bar, man, they was cracking up. Man, Noah to drink too much, man. Noah need to go to AA. He messed up. He done stole all the wood out the whole city. And that fool good, I talking about, it gon' rain. It gon'. Because God's ways are not our ways. He'll tell you to do some stuff, and folks be laughing at you and talking about you and think you weird. But when that rain comes, and you're where you need to be, you're in the ark because you believe God. Some of us are in the ark of Satan because we don't believe God. We come down for prayer, but you never want to get in the ark. You want God to do stuff outside the ark. He'll do stuff outside the ark when the waters dry up. But when the waters are coming in your life, get in the ark. I know you are like Noah, but get in there. Noah's not your God. God didn't build the ark just for Noah. Got too many hang-ups. Got to be able to walk in faith. Got to get rid of some of that stuff. I like till I dislikes. I can't get in there with them. Why not? Either get in or you drown. Take your choice. They died in faith. You drowned in foolishness. They got something to look forward to. You ain't got nothing to look forward to. After all the waters, recede, they'll find you somewhere stuck up on a tree. Foolishness. Jesus. We have a different perspective on life. We got to stop going through and wasting our time after nonsense. Following nonsense. Pursuing nonsense that gets us nowhere. One thing you don't want to do is go on a trip and keep on going around in circles. You will never get there. You can't keep on. We can't keep on doing the same thing. We can't keep on worshiping God the same way. We can't keep on reading just the same scripture every night. There's a whole counsel of God there. We really got to begin to get into this thing. So then when we look in the mirror and say, God, what is that you would have me to do? Then we'll have something within our spirit that can relate to what God is telling us to do. And we can go back to the Word of God and begin to find out for ourselves, what is it that God, what did he do in this person's life? What did he do in that person's life? Look at the heroes of faith. When they saw that thing afar off, and they were persuaded, and they embraced it, and they confessed, I know no longer live here. I'm no longer focused on what's here. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I got another focus. I got another aspiration. And God is working in my life. Faith. Some folk look at Christians today who are walking, living by faith. They look at them like strange. Folk look at them as strange. They say, these people are strange. Some folk look at you like strange. So strange.
prodigal, before you went and accepted Christ and joined the church, you ain't had no cancer. You didn't have all that problems with your children before you accepted Christ. You got to turn around and say, yes, I did. I just didn't know it. Because in the natural, you just receive stuff like it is. But in the spirit, God will lie. Oh, my God. He will lie. See, the enemy trying to play a game on you. Wow. I got to leave that church. Then you go to another church and stuff's still jumping off. It's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But the enemy will always try to throw stuff at us. But you have to focus on what God is telling you to do. And we don't have to be arrogant about it. We don't have to be nasty about it. Just go and walk in it. If you live in a house where you can't say it, just walk in it. I don't want a job. They ain't want you to say the name of Jesus until something happened. When something happened, when somebody died or something, I was a reverend. I was a reverend. The reverend. But as long as everybody was alive and well, they ain't want to hear nothing from me. They have big luncheon. Oh, can we get an invocation? But I was cool. I didn't say, well, you know, all I did was, because the Lord God got glory out of that thing. You know, they called me one time and said, we don't want your new Jesus. We don't want you to pray in Jesus' name. You got the wrong one. I was at one thing. My wife was with me. And I went on, that's the way I prayed. In the name of Jesus. Some people said, yeah, take a breath. Because into you he blew the breath of life. I tell people, don't try to get me not to say. I can't help it. I got to say his name. That's all I know. That's what I know. You need to get somebody else to pray. Can you pray the ecumenical prayer? Yeah, in Jesus' name. I don't want you. I'll be trying to be nasty smug. That's just what it is. What it is what it is. This is who I am, what I'm called. This is what I advertise. If you don't like this flavor, don't drink the juice. Come on, tell us, you got to tell us, so this is what it is. Oh my God. Don't be compromising. When you get around certain people, don't compromise. Hallelujah. If you only drink on communion Sunday, don't drink the other Sundays. Come on, somebody. Find out what God is showing you so you can believe it and grasp it and count on it. And keep on pursuing God. You need faith. Faith is a substantive proof. Faith is the picture in your wallet or in your pocketbook about what God's trying to do in your life. And you have to realize that picture will change because God's doing more and more stuff. If you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. The more you give to him, the more he'll give to you. And you're going to walk by faith. He won't always give you an understanding. But know one thing, he's not trying to destroy you. He's trying to bless you. Salvation is not the end of your life. As a Christian, it's the beginning of your life and your relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to learn how to live and walk by faith and not by sight. You have to learn how to hold on to your faith in spite of and because of. Everything you need for your life in Christ is wrapped up in your salvation and has already been paid for by Christ. Hebrews 11 gives us the heroes of faith, but the Bible also gives us a hero that stands above all other heroes, and that is Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, there were theophanies and Christophanies. Theophanies, nothing but the appearance of God. Christophanies, the appearance of Christ. So he's always been around. But we want to end this message in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. I want to talk about the hero, the great high priest that we have. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. They're living like they already got it. That's something. That is something. Because when God showed it to you, you got it. You don't have to be arrogant with it. Just walk in the confidence that Christ has given you. You already got it. But what you looking at furniture for? Because God can't give me a new house. People be laughing at you. All you did was do a little window shopping. That's all. You ain't put no money down. You just did a window shop. Hebrews 4 and 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched
with the feeling of our infirmities, but what it is in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I just stopped by to let somebody know today, I'm holding on to my faith. I don't care what happens. I see this thing afar off. God won't only give you a vision for ministry and a vision for a church. He'll give you a vision for your life. And that's what you need to see afar off. You need to walk in the fulfillment of it. It's in the process of being fulfilled. So you can't turn me around. That's the kind of stand you need to take. Or your relationship with Christ. No, you can't turn me around. I'm going on. I'm moving towards God. Ain't nothing going to block me. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. I'm listening to the voice of God. Because I listened to all that other stuff before. Look where it got me. But praise God, it got me to the altar. It got me to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And once you accept Christ, everything begins to turn around in your life. Somebody's saying right now, but Pastor, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. Let God get both hands in your life and see what happens. Every promise, you're a child of God, every promise belongs to you. And don't be afraid. Be afraid to stay where you are. The first time with the Mighty Men, the second time they sang this song, you won't change until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. Some of us won't move closer to God until the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of change. Let us all stand. They living like they already got it. What's up with us? As we open the doors of God's house, if there's anyone here today that wants to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we haven't even talked about membership yet, but we're talking about salvation. I'm talking about not leaving this sanctuary lost. The doors of God's house are now open to you. The doors of God's house are also open to those that want to rededicate or reconnect with Christ.